Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reporting live from Grover's Mill, New Jersey, where members of the National Guard have so far failed to destroy a single one of the Martian war machines. The leader machine is now approaching through the field. It is towering over the treetops. Lights from flames are bouncing off its metallic, silvery surface. It has not fired on National Guard troops yet, but they have made no other indication of their intentions. The machine is stopping. Yes, it has stopped in the center of the field, and there is an opening appearing in the machine. Perhaps these are ambassadors. Yes, we can see inside the opening now. It looks like they are... It's Dan and Jefferson! Now we're going to fanboy hell.
Okay, thank you for downloading and listening to the first episode of the Fanboy Hell podcast. I'm Dan the Fan here with my heterosexual life partner, Jefferson, and we're joined today by Matt over there as well.
Yes, hi, Matt. he's not in this whole thing regularly, so
I'm a special guest.
Yes,
star.
We start off our first episode with a special guest. Actually, we just recorded the Labor Day show with OG, and we just decided to bum Alan's equipment and do another show.
Yeah,
we're freeloaders. What can we say? We can't afford this shit.
So we're gonna try this thing here. Possibly come out with. Well, hopefully we'll be on a regular schedule. Maybe bi-weekly. Maybe for now. Maybe come up and then. As things gel and all that sort of stuff, it'll be probably weekly and all that sort of stuff. And I should really stop clicking on this pen.
Yes, you should.
Yeah. But anyway, Fanboy Hell. The name of that's the name of the podcast.
So why did we name our podcast Fanboy Hell, you ask? Well, let me start by explaining the name. Okay, we don't want to do the whole otaku thing because the old otaku thing is done with Otaku Generation. I would like to consider myself more of an American fanboy because, you know, I'm not just into Japanese anime, neither is Jefferson. I'm into Japanese anime, I'm into manga, I'm into slasher movies, exploitation, sci-fi. Like, I've got like a laundry list of stuff of fandoms I'm into. And, you know, when I was talking to Jefferson about this, like, we were thinking, you know, we don't want to concentrate on one thing, and no, I'm sorry, guys, it's not going to just be about the porn. As sad as that may be, some of you are probably crying
I'm
right
leaving.
Now.
Japanese dick girls.
I want to be able to talk about the things I'm passionate about and excited about, maybe like Jefferson said, on a bi-weekly basis, the stuff that doesn't, you know, wouldn't necessarily make it on OG or, you know, have time or whatever. Plus, you know, you don't want to step on anybody's toes, you don't want to take anybody's thunder away, you know, and it's one of those things where I just thought, you know, fanboys are what we are over here in America, and, you know, I just wanted to try and do that and give us a broad spectrum. So, you know, if we want to do a show on Japanese exploitation, we can do that, or we can do a show about grindhouse movies or Doctor Who, or, you know, or I don't think we could spend a whole episode talking about prog rock, but I think you could, or couldn't you?
Well, yeah, but I've come from practically a upbringing. I watched Doctor Who when I was a kid, PBS, really.
What got you started in the whole fandom thing? If you're going to start by introduce yourself and what made you an addict?
Well, I can tell you that when my dad, he brought home my first Marvel comic book, which is actually Secret Wars #1, and that gelled me. I was into Marvel comics. It was anything, you know, Marvel, New Mutants, X-Men, that sort of thing.
I like the New Mutants.
Yeah. When Bill Sienkiewicz when he was doing that, I mean, it was different. It was comic books. I collected the comic books, and then unfortunately when Mom decided to go on a rages of fits and anger because I left my comic books in some weird fashion. I forget how she threw them out, and it's like, oh God, aww. This was the 80s.
You had your comic books hidden in Playboys.
I started out with Marvel Comics. I also started with Doctor Who when it was on PBS. My first episode of Doctor Who was actually Inferno Part 7, a John Pertwee story.
I mean, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So But I also started out, you know, started out going to Doctor Who when it was shown on PBS more regularly. Tom Baker's Robot. I thought, what is, you know, what's this? This is new. This is British. It's, yeah. I mean, a lot of my British, my I'm also an Anglophile. I love Monty Python. I love The Prisoner.
Red Dwarf.
Red Dwarf, yes. But going all the way back, I even like The Avengers. Stuff like that from the British, from across the shores. But, you know, so, yeah. Not just Japanese, not, you know, but it'd be English and British and all that sort of stuff. I mean, and yes, even with my love of being an Anglophile, prog rock actually has its roots in the UK. King Crimson, yes, and Genesis, all that sort of stuff.
Bring it back.
Yeah.
Are you considering Pink Floyd to be part of the progressive rock movement?
Yeah, sure, why not? Adam Hard Mother, yeah. So, but, yeah. That's me, fanboyish hell. I mean, obviously Dan has his own music too. I mean, but we can we talk about music. We're talking about movies, anime, TV programs from the olden days and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I'm still learning on the whole Doctor Who thing. You got me into that. It's been a sad thing. Like, I got into the whole Christopher Eccleston thing and David Tennant and all that stuff, and I'm just getting into that. But my fandoms more are, like, I started out as a young kid, and my whole thing was is I was always into movies. My parents didn't care what I watched, which is, if you're a parent right now, monitor what your kids watch. Or they're going to turn out like me. I started out watching, like, Friday the 13th movies, and, like, I remember, like, I used to have a copy of Heavy Metal, which I will test my anime interest into, like, watching Heavy Metal over and over and over again. Do not let your kids watch Heavy Metal.
That's not entirely a bad thing.
A weird bit of trivia is when I was at college at Penn State, we would rent 16mm prints and show them in the lecture rooms to make money for the Science Fiction Society. And I swear to God, I watched Heavy Metal... It must have been 20 times because it was unavailable on video at that point. So the 16mm print was the only way anyone could see it. It was our biggest fundraiser. And I got to the point where I could tell you where the real breaks were in that frickin' print of Heavy Metal. Oh, my God. It got to the point where we would sit out in the hallway because we'd seen it so many times, and we'd just get this little feeling where we'd look over. It's like, oh, yeah, Harry Canyon's driving up behind the garbage truck. Time to change the reels.
It's one of those things, like, if you're ever wondering about, like, I guess the closest thing I would equate American anime to, it would be Heavy Metal because it was very close, and it was, like, you know, one in a million pretty much. But I was into that. I was very into the slasher movies, horror movies. When I got older, I got into the whole exploitation thing. I'm into comic books. I got into anime when I was younger. The funny thing was is I was like 14 years old, and I'd read an article in Wizard magazine, and they were talking about this abomination from God called Japanese animation and about how it was all about basically like that Wall Street Journal article. And the funny thing is Wizard does Anime Insider now.
Devil worship and pedophilia, Mr.
Basically
Speaker.
That's the way they started it off as, and I was like, you know, I was reading this, I was like, you know, shit, I need to get into this. I was like, I need to find this stuff and I need to get a hold of it. And I remember going to Suncoast Pictures and buying ADV release number 004. Wow. It was called Guy. And it was like, I bought it because there was a half naked blue haired girl on the cover. And the thing was, is they wouldn't let me buy it. So I had to have my mom buy it.
Aww.
And I took it home. It was subbed only. I put it in the VCR. Within 10 minutes, the whole house cleared. And eventually this led to me getting my own VCR, which was great. But it would be because, like, it's like I was just buying it because of the box art. Like, I was like, you know, this looks really like I was into horror stuff. So I would buy, you know, like Twin Dolls and all this other stuff. Like, I didn't know there was anything other than hentai out there until one day I was approached by this Chinese guy who always used to hang around the Suncoast, kind of sleazy dude, said, you know, I got some stuff in my truck you might want to look at. Like,
and he sold you wholesome anime out of the trunk of his car.
Actually, he did. That's how I got Battle Angel. That's how I saw Vampire Hunter D. That's how I got like a Laserdisc copy of the Street Fighter movie. Like, this is like, and The thing that really increased my whole, like, I guess, clout, because I went to a private school, so I didn't have access to tape trading or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, and plus, I went to a private Christian school. So what I would do is I make these compilation tapes where I take all the really good stuff, I put it on like a copy of Top Gun or something, take it to school with me, and sell it. And I like cornered the market at my school. It was hilarious. So yeah,
you were an entrepreneur.
Yeah. I started. So that's one of those things. That eventually, like, you know, I got more into anime and stuff like that. But, you know, comic books, I kind of am in and out depending on, you know, if I find a good author, if I find a good story. But
it depends on the comic.
Yeah, like, I think I'm more into the indie comic scene. But lately, I honestly have to say, is it gets dry and you have to go wait a while and then something good will come back up. I remember Zombies versus Robots was really good. I was reading that for a while and then that ended. Mm-hmm. I was reading American Virgin for a while, but that kind of got iffy after a while. I really like Becky Cloonan and stuff, but I'm pretty much like all the like the kind of darker stuff.
Have you ever heard of a black and white indie comic called The Adventures of Barry Ween, Boy Genius?
I have something, a Boy Genius thing, but it's in color.
No, this is by like Judd Winnick. It's really funny. It's this kid who's basically a super genius, and he's less than 6 years old.
Wow, sounds cool.
And the great thing is, it is not for kids at all. I mean, he spends most of his life trying to hide from people how clever he really is. Mm. Like, he does things like he takes his home chemistry set and he whips up the plague. But because he's 6 years old, he kind of accidentally infects his parents with it. So he's running around trying to genetically engineer the plague down to, like, sap its strength so it's something that he can actually kill without murdering his parents.
So, now that we got the introductions out of the way, what's up, Matt? What do we got?
I think we'll do a little bit of news. I think we're going to do news a little different. Me and Jeff are each going to come up with some news topics, because the stuff I'm into and the stuff he's into are two totally different things.
Yeah.
So we're hoping maybe, you know, we can find a happy middle ground. And plus, it'll give us, we'll take a little time to talk about things in between everything.
Hopefully you'll be informed and much more the wiser.
Yeah, I want to get this stuff, like, basically try not to edit a lot and get this out as soon as possible so it's still fresh. The first news this week is something on every Japanese otaku to see list, and it is the premiere of the four new Evangelion movies. The first one, Evangelion 1.0, You Are, I guess, brackets, Not Alone. I really hope this is not some weird Michael Jackson reference, Hideki Anno. Maybe he's like listening to a lot of Michael, but I don't know. Well, if you've been on Anime News Network this weekend, you know the distribution Nikatsu had planned to show the movie in Tokyo's Shinjuku Ward and 224-seat Cinema Square Tokyo Theater, but changed the theaters to the 1,046 stadium seat Milano one day before the opening to accommodate the growing crowds.
Yeah, popular demand.
Yeah. All the theater's seven opening day showings sold out with standing room only audiences. Cool. And I've heard it hasn't smelled very well at all. That theater alone sold 12,500 tickets during the 2 days for a total of 15 million yen or $130,000 weekend box office take.
Oh my God.
Each screen showed.
That's for one print?
Yeah,
that's actually one screening.
Actually, it's going to break down in the screenings. Each screen that showed the movie nationwide earned an average of 3 million yen, about $30,000. 200,000, 36, 158 people basically
they spent
the movie and spent about 280 million yen, about $2.4 million at 84 theaters.
So this must have been the highest gross. This should have broken records by now.
For the Japanese, since the movie didn't play in more than 100 theaters, it was one of the rare times that a film like that opened in less and got first place in the weekend. And
wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty big deal. I mean, now the whole net is abuzz, of course, with reviews, because some people who speak English got to see it, of the new Ava movie. And you can check out Ava Monkey, of course, over at avamonkey.com. Aaron over there,
Aaron
for
Clark.
All that good stuff. I know I'm going to be checking his site a lot now. The reviews so far have been good, but the only complaint seems to be the subject matter is a bit too familiar.
Oh,
which,
it is a recap.
Yeah, the movie is gorgeous with all the new great CG additions. and well animated as you would expect, since this is the first movie. This is just a very well done recap of the first quarter of the TV series.
Yeah, before Asuka comes along, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and after waiting this long, the fans just wanted a bit more, and I totally understand that.
But
although you can apparently see Rey's nipples through her plug suit now. I mean, that's come up on a couple of forums.
So, well, basically, yeah, Rey gets hotter, yeah.
Well, basically, the plug suits are supposed to be skin tight. They're not wearing anything under there.
And now you can see Rey's nipples.
Oh, boy.
I mean, people have said that they're giving away Rey drinking cups. There have also been some reports of insane product placements in the movies, worse than Transformers the movie, with Karen Beer and Doritos and Pizza Hut abound. Basically, so,
like, the aliens are drinking Cokes, or the angels are drinking Cokes.
Yeah, they basically hoard the hell out of themselves to get as much money as they can for this thing.
So product placement, ugh.
Yeah, lots of product placement. Everyone is abuzz with the preview, though. It's like people don't give a shit about the movie. They just care about the last, like, 10 minutes, because...
We paid so many yen for this little bit at the end.
It's kind of like, if you think about it, back when Star Wars Episode One, the preview was tagged on the one movie, and that one movie did so well just because of Aaron Clark to Skype in. If you want to bring Aaron Clark in, go ahead. He's probably got some good stuff in. Then, because everybody is, like, all abuzz, you know, because basically everyone is obsessed about the preview and the final moments at the end of the movie where Shinji and Rey have defeated Ramiel. Kaoru is introduced, waking up from some sort of bizarre moon coffin at the command of Sele. They're bringing him in a lot sooner.
Yeah.
Basically, he's moving in on their orders and will become a player from the beginning of the second film, which basically kind of is breaking up the continuity, but people are saying...
Sort of fits.
I liked Karu a lot. I mean, even though he was all about the gay, he was honestly like...
But he had a deep...
Shut up, nice guy. Shinji was just confused.
He was a nice guy, I mean, honestly.
Well, but giving him a more hidden, deeper agenda, sort of, kind of, you know...
Yeah, because you never saw that meeting, and apparently, like, Sele and Karu are pretty much holding hand in hand in this.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll get to... They'll actually explain a little bit more. Then, what everybody was frothing at the mouth over, the preview for the second film. Apparently, from the reviews I read, there's a brief shot of a new female character whose design is so individualistic that I'm sure she's rumored to be one of the new characters that they showed, and she's going to play a significant role in the story, which a lot of people are excited about, because, you know, more Evangelion jailbait.
So...
This is where it gets interesting, because the Anime News Network, I mean, I've read a couple reviews, but the Anime News Network has a story that speaks about the new female character, but they also have something about the new, more redesigned Ava units, especially the first Ava units will have a new backpack attachment for the aerial drop sequence. It's supposed to basically fit into the episode 9 of the series.
Mm-hmm.
The Ava Unit 4 is to be hinted out to appear for the first time in animation.
Right.
A new mono-eyed Ava 5 design will appear, and Ava 6 will feature a completely new design as well. Although that hasn't come up in any of the reviews, I thought that was strange. None of the reviews have pointed out the Ava differences.
So we got...
We got Aaron Clark on.
Yeah.
Hello, Aaron.
Is he on?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you.
Welcome.
Welcome to the first edition of Fanboy Hell, the podcast.
Yes.
I'm totally just like minding my own business, and suddenly I'm on a podcast for some ungodly reason.
I'm sorry. We were basically...
Like I'm important or something. What the hell's up with that?
You are pretty important.
You are. You have the probably the most important website of the weekend. Or the week, or the month, or the year.
Or the one I've been checking over and over and over again. Like, is there something up? Is there something up? Is there something up? Is there something up? Because, like, I knew it premiered on Friday, but I was like, you know, there's got to be some news about it, you know? And you had the first, like, English reviews up on your site. Or the first links to the English reviews.
Whoa.
Oh, shit, my girlfriend's calling me. I'm going to mute my mic. I'll be right back.
Okay,
so, all right.
So back
to whatever. You owe him $1.25 for, like, web usage.
Okay, so one thing I do think is hilarious is some of the talkbacks on the reviews on some of the things on his site is you have people who haven't seen the movie who are chiming in as if they were at the first showing, and that's, to me, that's hilarious. Now, for all you pirates out there, and Aaron comes on, I can't wait to talk to him about this, who can't wait to see the movie like myself, subbed or unsubbed, some prankster has put up a file with the name and date of the new movie and a pretty insane password HTML file that will open a ton of windows on your desktop, and with over 1,000 seeders, many people will be disappointed to find that it is only a copy of Ghost in the Shell, Solid State Society, RAW, in that password-protected file.
Yeah.
I downloaded it last night, and it was downloading. I had it in 2 hours.
If it looks too good to be true,
Me and Jefferson were at the Internet Cafe. We were like, you know, let's check on the BitTorrent sites, you know, see if RAW's got leaked yet, because, you know, sometimes, you know, I remember Full Metal Alchemist actually took a couple weeks for the RAW to come out. I mean, and that was a cam too, but we were figuring like the cam on this thing would move like hot fire. So we saw it was called Evangelion 0209. I haven't heard anything about the people that flew to Japan to see Ava. Maybe Aaron will have some good stuff about that.
Yeah, so yeah, that came out this weekend, so we got that.
I was so pissed off. Like, literally, the way it worked is when you got the file, you had an HTML file that, you know, had three links, and they said, in order to get the password for the file, you had to go to these three links, and da-da-da. Everything's in Japanese.
So, by the way, listeners, we aren't afraid to talk about internet piracy, so...
Well, I'll get into that in one of my next news topics, but, you know, piracy is... I mean, it's not piracy, it's, you know... It's one of those things where... I plan on buying it when it comes out over here, a sub version. Yes, I do plan on buying the 50 different versions that ADV is going to probably come out with.
Yeah.
But, you know, for my fanboyness, I really have to see this movie as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So. Was that Aaron Clark? Is he back?
Aaron, yeah, are you back?
I'm back.
Okay.
Welcome back.
So I was talking about the
yes.
I was talking about the version that apparently was leaked on BitTorrent that turned out to be Ghost in the Shell Solid State Society.
Yeah,
that's got about 1,000 seeders. I downloaded it in 2 hours, and I was really upset because, like, I honestly thought somebody had actually done their homework.
It was just too good to be true.
It's a joke.
Owned by the internet.
Yeah.
No, my favorite is when my wife thought she downloaded the new Harry Potter movie, and it turned out to be like the Snow White's and the Seven Dwarfs porno.
Yeah.
She was really upset.
So, anyway.
So, have you heard anything, like, new that you haven't put up, or what's been your whole, like, feeling about this?
I mean, I've heard from a couple people, because I've got at least one person on my forums that actually went to Japan to, like, among other things, see the movie. So, like, from my understanding, the kind of consensus about the movie is that, yeah, it's a synopsis, you know, it's like, hey, let's take the 6 episodes from the beginning of the series and, like, cram it into, like, 90 minutes and, you know, make it really pretty. But, like, apparently, like, the fight scenes, like, are really, really neat. Some of the things they redesigned are really, really neat, but it's still the same basic thing. You know, there's not very much divergence.
Oh,
but
okay.
The really weird friggin' thing is, and I don't know if you mentioned this because I don't know what's going on, is that there's, like, throwbacks to the original series. Spoilers. the moon still has, like, the blood splatter from Lilith and End of Ava. The ocean is still wet from End of Ava. And Kaoru has memories of the previous series events, kind of like in a weird kind of retake kind of way.
Sort of like a...
So that there's some people that are saying that this is sort of a, like... things are happening over again, sort of weird sequel kind of thing, and I'm just like, what?
What
the hell is this nonsense?
This makes things a whole lot more interesting now. This is Hideki Anno at work.
So sort of some sort of weird,
I have no idea.
Infinite loop regression.
Recursion. The next movie should be interesting because that's where they're going to start diverging. I mean, Kaoru is going to be showing up, you know, in the next... you know, in the next movie, and that's very, very early in the story, and there's going to be a new character and a new Ava, and I don't know what she looks like. Some people kind of say she's probably like some kind of weird amalgamation of Mayumi, Mana Kurishima, and Mayumi Higurashi, whatever, female characters from the games that
Some people are saying. I've read that because there's been some idiots talking back.
Power. So movie one, eh. Movie two, maybe really interesting.
We'll see. Yeah, we will. So
yeah, see, I have my hopes up. I mean, I've read a lot of stuff. Anime News Network's been doing a pretty good job covering everything. I can't wait to get my hands, like I said, on a copy of this to see it.
For the love of God, somebody put it on BitTorrent before I go.
Yeah, a real version. Anything, any quality, anything. Something real. You know, something we can actually see it outside of Japan.
It's sad because it's like one of the most anticipated movies in, like, in my opinion, in a long time.
Yeah,
and it's like,
I mean, this has the anime community really abuzz, but...
We should all team up and steal a plane.
Hijack.
You did see the thing on Anime News Network where they actually, like, so they had, like, trips to Japan specified just to see this movie.
You mentioned that last show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, you know, I would almost go on that trip. I mean, if, the you know, I get the 3D tickets and, you know, the Rei Ayanami drink glass and my Rei Ayanami Doritos and my Rei Ayanami Pizza Hut pizza. You know, I'd be set.
That little thing that they have where you can get the Rei figure holding the straw on the top of a cup is diabolically evil and brilliant. I mean, it's like, hey, Rei Ayanami with a pole, you know?
Oh.
It's just like, dirty thoughts abound.
Yeah.
She's not wearing clear
heels,
though.
There's so many product tie-ins, product placements. This is
Did you hear about the nipples?
Rei's nipples, yeah.
Yeah, through the plug suit now. Everybody's obsessed about that
it's
now.
It's very cold in Nerve.
Very.
One might even say brisk.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Aaron Clark, for chiming in on this conversation.
Yeah. I mean, we're, you know.
There's one other little interesting thing about Ava that's going on right now. There's another manga series out there now. Did you guys talk about the fact that they're making another Ava animated series?
No. Didn't know about that.
Yes.
Yeah,
please, please invite
Ava
us.
At that Ava school thing where they're all like little chibis and Ava Unit, like Gendo is the principal and Ava Unit 1 is the school bully. They're like all chibi and cute and there's like manga and they're making animation out of that. And I'm also a little sick. Sorry. So, and they're also making another manga series, which is like, I can't really describe it. It's just like, it's like some kind of weird, what's that other show game series that the Tsukihime people made?
I have no idea. I'm drawing a blank. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got that kind of weird, like, God, I can't remember what it's called, but it's got like that show and Ava mixed together. So like, you've got like Rei with a Lancelogenous and they're like all like badass and shit and they're in like school and they're gonna like fight and stuff for no reason whatsoever.
Wow.
I don't know, but apparently it's another spinoff manga series and it's like, Gainax, you guys are a bunch of whores.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, people are
know if I love you or hate you. It's just really weird, like you consume every possible thing in relation to this one show that like aired like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have a whole lot going on right now. I mean, honestly, Ava's like the only thing in the cards with them right now.
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of sad, but you know, Gainax is not as revolutionary as they used to be, which is really sad.
From what I hear, Gurren Lagann is like a bazillion kinds of awesome.
And, like, I haven't watched that yet. Like, I mean, I know people are saying, oh, yeah, it's the business, but it's like, get around to that later.
See, Gunbuster 2 kind of soured me. Like, I honestly thought Gunbuster 2 was a little too wacky. Like, I was, like, expecting, like, more, like, old-school Gunbuster. I mean, even Maharu Matic kind of, you know, got a little, like, slow and a little weird.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But still, it's... I think Gainax still has something left, but we'll see how they do with the Ava rebuild and all that sort of stuff. So.
Yeah, if they actually give us some answers at the end of this bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, if they do that for us, then we'll let them slide. They can sell us Pizza Hut pizza with Rei on it and all that good stuff. I would like to see that over here, honestly.
Just so long as it actually is good answers as opposed to, like, X-Files, where, like, when you finally get to the bottom of it, it's like, that's all. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, okay, yeah, it's like world shattering. But
suicide rate in Japan hits all time high at the end of the Evangelion movie 4.
Yeah.
Nothing worth living for, say, despondent, homebound Otaku. Hideki
Anno killed in the streets.
Ooh. Oh,
they would do that too. I mean, after he pissed everybody off after the like the first movies, they'd lynch him. I'd probably go over there and help.
Wow.
What do you think, Aaron?
I hope I never care about anything that much.
And have him do all my. If I was still in school, I'd put him in a cage and have him do my art projects for me.
That might be kind of interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. That is if he has any talent left.
He does have talent left. He's just been doing a lot of live action. Oh, no, wait a minute. The last live action thing he did was the Cutie Honey movie. But you figure, like, he's been working on this probably since then. Like, he's been in pre-production on this probably since that movie wrapped, I would think. And I also heard they put out a call to animators, too, because I heard they're, like, running so low on animators. They're, like, hemorrhaging, and they need more people to animate this thing because they're trying to get it out on time.
Yeah, there is an interesting the discussion is whether or not Anno and Gainax are kind of split from here on out. Like, I want to think that Kara, which is producing a rebuild, is basically kind of like a production group. But apparently they have studios, and there are some people that are saying that from here on out, it's Anno with his own studio. And he's not really going to be affiliated with Gainax. And Ava isn't really going to be affiliated with Gainax. It's going to be affiliated with Kata because, you know, Anno created Ava and Anno created this new thing. And that's kind of where it's going to go.
Yeah, I saw that brand, and I was like, you know, I was kind of confused by it because, you know, I was expecting to see Gainax, but maybe I was thinking maybe they couldn't, you know, produce these films. So, you know, maybe they didn't have the money to do it, and they had to get, like, external investors. But, I mean, if it's his own outfit that's doing this, that is kind of weird.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
It's sad.
More on that as it develops.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is only the first week, and we've gotten this much, so things are only going to get better from here.
They should, yeah.
Hopefully we'll know more and all that good stuff. Well, thank you for stopping by, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks for Skyping
in. Gracing us with your presence and giving us some great insight into the Ava Rebuild, and everybody should go see your site, avamonkey.com. You have any other stuff to plug?
No, I just want to just give a call out to all the tubes of the internet. Someone out there, please, for the love of all that is holy, steal that fucking movie and put it on BitTorrent.
I agree.
But see, the Japanese are so slow at that.
Damn those Japanese! And
well, get an American in Japan.
Like honestly, if it was an American movie, the mafia would have had somebody in there before they opened with a fucking VHS camera on that thing.
I mean, it premiered in 84 theaters for crying out loud.
I'm dead serious, but I mean, the Japanese usually with a cam usually get like 2 to 3 weeks. Battle Royale 2 took almost 2 months to come out. And the only reason why that came out is because they showed it in China with English and Chinese subtitles.
Ooh.
So, yeah, internets, get on that. And thank you, Aaron Clark.
Thanks, Aaron.
Sure thing, guys.
All right.
See you later.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right. What you else you got?
You're next.
Oh, am I next?
Put you on the spot here. It's your news item now, buddy.
Oh, actually, yeah. Let's actually start out with some light notes here. For anybody who's actually been going to be chomping at the bit for the Gantz manga to come out from Dark Horse, I've actually came up on the fact you're going to have to wait a while. It's going to be not until about summer 2008 where Dark Horse comes out with anything on that matter. It's, I know it's long, but, you know, you got to have patience on this sort of thing.
I'm really sad about this. I remember when we found this, like, literally, I was crying inside. Aww. Like, I don't know if I can wait that long, because literally, I didn't buy it, because if I knew I read it before, I wouldn't pay for it when it came out over here. The guy, the artist who draws it, he's a really great guy, seen a lot of interviews with him, want to support the cause, but, I mean, it's just taking so long. It's turning into one of those Final Fantasy Advent Children things where, you know, you want to buy it, you want to pay the money, but, you know, let's sit on this for as long as we can until, like, it's been pirated the hell out of.
Yeah. Sort of like the Death Note anime, which, you know, it's like Viz has, and it's like, it's kind of passed by now, so
Yeah, Death Note. They just showed the final recap episode. Where they recapped everything, put in some extra scenes. I heard they actually that was pretty good. But yeah, Viz dropped the ball in Death Note too, because they were going to do the internet downloading thing, and then that somehow lost some steam. And then you know the movies have. They've come out, but they've come out through different means, and it's just like if they literally did what they were planning to do from the get-go and release this thing, as soon as they had the rights to it, they would have made a killing off of this thing. But, you know, it's you got to strike while the iron's hot with these things, and when you don't, you lose a lot of money.
So, yeah, you're going to have to wait a while. Next thing of a little news... you know that DBZ live action that they keep on coming back and forth and back and forth?
Wasn't Robert De Niro and Robert Downey Jr. supposed to be in that thing originally?
What? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. Like, I've heard...
You are bullshitting me.
No, they were... I remember when, like, you know, they've been declaring that thing in, like, you know, production since it was on, like, Cartoon Network, like, not even finished yet.
Yeah, so apparently, yeah, it's back on again, and apparently they're going to film it in Montreal. You can actually see the article from the Montreal newspaper on site, shortnote.com. Basically, there's a paragraph at the end, and it says that it's uncertain when the shooting will actually start, but they're saying it will wrap sometime next July. So.
See, I'm not buying it. And honestly, that movie is going to suck balls no matter what.
Well, any live action of, you know, and anything live action
Piccolo,
outside
Samuel
of Japan.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really buying it. There's going
to
be...
You'd love to be proven wrong, but you don't think you're
going
to be.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be full of clusterfuckery, and it's just going to turn out to be a horrible abortion on celluloid.
Yeah.
Sort of like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, kind of.
Probably worse, because DBZ is such a tricky thing. Like, it's one of those things that came and went, and it was really beloved when it was here. And the thing is like, if they don't do it right, because all the people that were into it back in the day are all a little bit older now.
Yeah.
If they didn't target those people and they try to play to the younger audience, it's going to suck. It really
is. The younger audience isn't going to care, and the older audience is going to hate it.
Yeah, basically that's what's going to happen, and then they're going to end up with $100 million shit bomb on their hands.
Yeah. This weekend was actually Dragon Con down in Atlanta, and they actually some of the actors from the Battlestar Galactica series that's on Sci-Fi. Yeah, I know. There's an 18-month wait until the next and final season. Problem is, Sci-Fi dropped the ball again. They're splitting up this final season. 10 episodes each. You know, it's supposed to be 20 episode, final season.
They did the same thing with Lost, though.
Yeah, well, no, because they did eight before a long hiatus, and then they did 16 or something like that.
Did they give a reason for the hiatus?
Basically, they just didn't want to have repeats, doing that after hiatus thing. So they just wanted new episodes. They wanted a straight run of that. But this is just ridiculous. They're gonna do the first set of 10 starting in February 2008. But after that run of 10 ends, they're not gonna have the next run of 10 until February 2009. So,
they're probably going in on a cliffhanger too.
No, this is supposed to be the final season.
Oh,
it
is?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're ending that though. Why did they ever tell why they're actually ending this series?
I guess they just don't want to drag it out until it starts sucking.
Well,
that's acceptable, but it's still one of those things. Well, like, you know, I think there's a little more story to tell.
Well, yeah, there is, but back during the original Battlestar Galactica series from the 80s. Donald Belisario said, when they find Earth, the series ends. Unfortunately, they had Galactica 1980.
Don't mention it. I'm not listening. Not listening. La, la, la.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to mention Galactica 1980, although...
He said it again.
Although what those last two episodes, whatever happened to Starbuck actually sort of redeemed it. But yeah,
those weren't the last episodes. Those were the only episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, I could go, you know, I could just go into a whole rant about it, but I'm not, since this is a news story.
Do you have any news on the Battlestar Galactica, like, movie about the Pegasus that I've heard about?
No, there hasn't been any news on that lately, so unfortunately...
So presumably it's still going ahead as
planned.
Yeah,
but, well, this is sci-fi. I mean, they don't know a hit when it bites them in the ass. I mean, it's like, they produced a really good show, and they became a hit, and sci-fi just sort of...
They keep dumping their money in movies like Giant Snake and, like, Man Thing.
Yeah.
And, what's that called? Insectoid Man or something? Like,
yeah,
like some of those really bad movies that they end up showing on the soup where they blow up people's heads
and they
shit.
And they had the worst Baldwin of them all on them. It's like... Steven, I think his name?
The only one that's not in a crack house.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I'll do a bit of news now. My
go ahead.
My next news item is about one of my favorite directors, Quentin Tarantino. Apparently, the man whore has been making quite a few appearances in Japan to promote his movie Death Proof, which apparently the story is now over in Japan. They're going to keep Grindhouse together. They've separated Grindhouse in England and a lot of the other places, but I think Grindhouse is going to get... It actually got released September 1st along with the Evangelion movie, and it's actually showing a double bill, which apparently is really surprising considering it did so bad over here that they stopped releasing it, then they decided they were going to release it again, and then in some countries they split them up, and in some countries they kept them together because apparently it was just... People didn't understand what a Grindhouse movie was, what a double feature was. People were just, you know, clueless about everything altogether, and I can kind of understand that, but
Did they have a problem with people not understanding what a double feature was?
Yeah,
so
they
when
actually,
the first feature ended, they left during the credits.
Yeah, they had to give out pamphlets.
Oh.
They literally had pamphlets printed that explained what a Grindhouse double feature was, and that, you know, the trailers in between the movies were in fact fake, and that, you know, do not leave, stay for both movies. I mean, it was 4 hours. I mean, you got your money's worth out of that.
Yeah, you did, but it's like...
No, his movie is actually the second movie, so most people stayed because the first movie was the Robert Rodriguez run Planet Terror, which was it was good, but it wasn't as good as Death Proof.
Yeah.
So he's been making quite a few appearances in Japan, and he actually just filmed a cameo for a movie called 80 Proof, and it's by the guy who directed The Taste of Tea, director Ishii Katsumoto. Mm-hmm. Ishii, who is a big fan of Tarantino's work. His influences written all over his feature debut, Sharkskin Man, Peach Hip Girl. That's actually available at Blockbuster, and I suggest if you're into wacky Japanese cinema with a lot of like insane violence, it's good. It's an awesome flick. It has Tanabu Asano in it from Ichi the Killer.
Okay.
And he basically later repaid that debt by providing some of the concept, and he did some of the animation sequence in Kill Bill Volume 1. He provided the concept for Lucy Liu's character, Oren Ichii, which kind of makes me feel bad because now I know he didn't come up with all that stuff on his own. He actually had a lot of help.
Hmm.
Now at last, he's basically joined forces with this guy to do another movie called 80 Proof. I couldn't really find a lot out about 80 Proof, but if it's anything like his role in the Takeshi Miike Western that he did, Sukiyaki Western Django, it should be interesting. That one actually hasn't come out on DVD yet in Japan or over here. I haven't seen a fan sub of it or ever, but you figure Takeshi Miike making a Western, that's got to be some hot shit.
Yeah. So... But anyway, my turn here. I got a whole slew of Doctor Who related stuff here going on. First off,
Doctor Who time.
Yeah, we gotta go with the what I know best. Sometimes, actually, first off, some sad news to report. Outpost Gallifrey, Gallifrey1.com is going to be retired. The website is going to be retired. Sean Lyon had actually...
So they're actually closing the website down altogether?
Well, it's... What it's going to be is that Sean Lyon will be doing two... there's also a related Gallifrey 1 convention out in Los Angeles, and he had always been wanting to be retiring. He had gone on to other fandoms, gone into school and all that sort of stuff, and he's planning on doing two more conventions, at least two more, 2008-2009. And actually, U.S. fandom is kind of weird. I mean, now that the new series has started, I mean, things have kind of come up. Only problem is that some of the A-list guests that they want to bring over, David Tennant.
He's a handsome man.
Yeah. Billy
David Tennant is a handsome man. I'm confident enough in my heterosexuality to say David Tennant is a handsome man and a very good dancer and a very good singer.
Yeah. David Tennant, Billy Piper. Well, now that she's gone, actually, she's out of that BBC contract a little, but she's still kind of tied in.
I heard they're not allowed to make appearances. I read somewhere that they're not allowed to be at Doctor Who conventions.
Well, it's kind of weird. I mean, the filming, okay, their filming schedule as it is usually wrapped up in a 13 or 14 month cycle anyway, so including the Christmas specials that they do and the, you know, 13 episodes a series thing, it really does get to be bogged down. But still, with the filming schedules, BBC contract saying certain actors can't appear outside of BBC sanctioned events, quote some person.
That's really stupid.
Something where the Beeb gets a cut of the action, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. A lot of the conventions here in the U.S. have really, you know, can't really get the A-listers. I mean, they can get Sylvester McCoy, they can get the old doctors, the old companions, some of the
cares about that.
Some of the script writers and the authors, but yeah, nobody really cares about it.
I love Sarah Jane Smith, and I will hear nothing said against her.
But even Chicago TARDIS is actually kind of dying off a little, so I hear they're going to end too. So, yeah. Sean Lyon is retiring the Outpost Gallifrey webpage. It's actually going to be going off in about four different sites here. We got DoctorWhoNews.com, DoctorWhoForum.com, DoctorWhoWebGuide.com, and actually the
are these all going to be like headed by different people? So like basically split it up and said you get A, you get B, you get C, and you get D.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, he's still going to have the Gallifrey1.com page for the convention, but even then, the convention will end, and that'll be a memory, you know.
Well, nothing lasts forever.
So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the next Gallifrey One convention will be in Los Angeles. Usually President's Day week. Yeah, it is President's Day weekend, 2008. They'll have Sylvester McCoy, Sophie Aldred, Daphne Ashbrook, Paul Cornell, Stephen Moffat, and yeah, I can honestly say that I've actually been, you know, in an Outpost Gallifrey. I actually did a few guest editing and columns and all that for the, especially for This Week in Doctor Who, which is a nice TV, comprehensive TV listing.
Ivy said
listing.
She Googled you and you showed up at all kinds of places, and that was one of them.
Yeah.
She's like, he showed up on SEPTA.
Yeah. I'm all over the place. I am not afraid to say that I've been on the internet a lot. Anyway. Yeah, so that's that. And speaking more Doctor Who stuff, Torchwood actually premieres on BBC America this Saturday, September 8th at 9 p.m.
Advertisements for that are everywhere.
Yeah, they've really been
all over
Philly. You know, Philly area. There's
the bus signs and everything. Yeah,
yeah, the spinoff.
Yeah, it says from the creators of Doctor Who everywhere. Yeah. Like Torchwood bags, Torchwood everything. Like it's awesome. Like apparently Doctor Who. It's got to be doing some real numbers for them to be pushing it this hard.
Well, yeah. So BBC America will be premiering Torchwood.
Surprised it's not on Sci-Fi though, because if you don't have BBC America like me, you kind of I tried to download Torchwood because I really wanted to see it, but there's no freaking theaters. So hopefully,
so, yeah. But please, if you're somebody out there, give Dan Torchwood.
Either that or I'll just wait and buy it on DVD. Probably that'll be worth buying.
Yeah, I hear that'll be on HD DVD too. So that'll be BBC Video's first foray into HD DVD or something like that.
I'm really excited because I saw Heroes was on HD DVD. I mean, it was it was like $100 as compared to like the $39 mm-hmm. box set well, on yeah. the regular. But can you imagine how good that probably looks?
Oh, yeah.
Like, of all show Heroes, I mean, you've seen Heroes, right?
No.
You haven't seen Heroes?
No, man, I work.
Get the DVD.
You have to see this show. Oh, my God. It's honestly one of the best shows I've seen on TV in years. Wow. Like, if you're into comic books and shit, you need to be watching this. It's, like, got something for everybody. I mean, it's, like, when I was watching it, like, for one, I couldn't believe that they could get away with this stuff on TV. because, like, there's, like, the cheerleader that heals herself and, like, you know, some pretty gory stuff happens. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, still, the story... storyline is pretty like intense sometimes. I mean, plus like they've got like the wacky Japanese guy who totally like, you know,
is, I've seen a few clips yeah. of him and I was like, wait, is that guy actually speaking Japanese with subtitles on American television?
He is actually Japanese.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he was on Scrubs for a few guest spots.
He's got all kinds
really?
Of PhDs. Yeah. He's actually gotten in trouble because I think he did an interview where he said, you know, it was okay that the people who don't have Heroes yet were downloading it via BitTorrent. Wow. Like he was like, you know, these are the people that are eventually going to go on to buy the box sets and all mm-hmm. that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think he did the special effects on like Pirates of the Caribbean too. Like
no way.
He actually worked in the special effects department. This guy has just been all over the place.
So yeah, Heroes is the yeah.
Oh yeah.
And actually,
what did Alan just?
This is me? This is Wired magazine, and it's got this guy on the cover.
Hero.
Yeah, hero.
Yatta.
Yeah.
He looks pretty intense on
but
this.
But it has joy.
Yeah, that's future hero.
Oh, okay.
Because yeah, he's like his power is he can time travel.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is like. The whole thing basically revolves around this cheerleader because basically New York gets blown up by some like mm-hmm. evil superhero mm-hmm. and they yeah. believe that if you save the cheerleader you basically stop that whole cycle of events.
Yeah.
And his whole thing is he hops forward in time, backward in time, and he basically like they do some really 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 insane stuff that, you know, I would never think that they would do on network TV.
Wow.
Because it's just like he goes to the future and like the future's wiped out and he's like, you know, fighting like the police state and all that good stuff, and it's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah,
plus he's like really funny too because like it's like he comes over to America with his friend and
yeah.
Hondo, and they both like barely speak English and he's going over to America to see this like internet porn star that he's obsessed with.
Like, how'd you find me? What was that search engine website? Who is database? You should really consider getting an unlisted number.
No, my favorite is when Hondo and Hero are in the bathroom and the guy opens the bathroom door and he's like, why are you two in the bathroom together? And Hondo's like, this is how we roll.
Yeah.
What?
You really have to see the show. It's awesome. Like, you of all people, like, uh-huh. you would love it. You yeah. should go out and buy
okay.
it immediately.
Yeah. I gotta yeah. borrow it from
and
somebody.
And season two.
Season two starts September 24th.
Yes.
Mm. I am so excited. And, you know, they're doing Heroes this year and they're doing Heroes Origins, and Kevin Smith is supposed to direct an episode of that.
So yeah,
I mean, it's one of those things that it's just going to make a shitload of money for them, like literally.
Cool. So. Well, they deserve to if it's that good.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you watch it, like literally, I missed it a lot because I was doing the show.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I saw the first couple episodes, and literally, like for the next like week and a half, like I would just watch marathon like five episodes at a time because it's very much like an anime where, you know, the last episode cuts off. And it basically goes right to the next one.
Yeah.
So you have to basically, you can't miss an episode. Mm-hmm.
It's
and
so continuity laden, yeah.
It's an awesome show.
But. Well, the problem is I work late at night, so I generally miss most of prime time by the time I finish eating dinner and everything. So whenever I see stuff, it's like I got the Doctor Who finally because a friend of mine said, hey, Matt, you don't have cable, do you? And it's like, no, I'm too poor to afford cable. So like, okay, Sci-Fi's having a marathon of the stuff they showed last year. I'll tape it at EP for you and give you a tape. This is how lame I am. I do most of my stuff on videotape still. Everyone pity me. But I sat down and I geeked out and I watched it for like 5 hours.
Which
straight.
Season did you watch?
It was the one where Sarah Jane Smith showed up again.
Oh yeah, series two. Yeah.
I liked it. It was really great.
Series two was really good. I'm a big fan of series one because mm-hmm. I like the asshole doctor. Like I thought that was awesome. He was just
and actually Christopher Eccleston did guest appear on Heroes. So yeah.
But I think they're doing a great job with the new Doctor Who. But the thing is, this is again like you know, the new Doctor Who, I get it on tape. Firefly, I was busy on Fridays, so I didn't see it while it was on Fox. So I had
I got that one on DVD.
Yeah, well, I finally saw it, and then I was like, geez, I got to buy the box set of this now and buy the movie, too.
Yeah. And they just came out with a special edition of that, too, which pissed me off. Because
what? Special edition of Serenity.
Yeah, the and a two-disc version of it. But, I mean,
that pisses me off because, what, 20 people bought Serenity, so now those 20 people have to buy it again? I mean, I'm a big Firefly fan, but, you know, double-dipping, like, the few
well,
people.
Well, Joss did say, you know, he was sorry that, there was going to be double-dipping. He did, I mean, but. At least they had, you know, they had.
He's decent enough to admit it.
Yeah, he was, you know, they have cast commentary.
He's like, I need money.
Yeah.
Well.
I mean, he's doing that Cloverfield thing, right?
I don't know. What is that?
I'm pretty sure he's. Shit. No, he's not the guy.
No.
Okay.
Because the guy who did Alias and stuff is doing this thing called Cloverfield. They showed a preview of it in front of Transformers. Mm, yeah. The movie without a title where they basically it's like a bunch of people.
11808 or something.
Yeah, the
like
people
that.
At the party, and then they show the Statues of Liberty's head like flying through the street and getting thrown. Supposed to be really cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, going back. Yeah.
Back on topic.
Well, going back to news, actually, I just want to get this one last thing out of the way. Actually, some future news on Doctor Who. Speaking of, BBC, there will be a series 5 on the BBC for Doctor Who, but unfortunately, that's not.
And David Tennant will be in it, correct?
Well, we don't know that yet, but we know
there have been rumors that he's not going to be in it, which is stupid because that man is like solidifying his like greatness by doing this.
Yeah, well,
BBC can only do so many musical shows and have him feature. In them.
Why is he primarily a song and dance guy?
He does. Yeah. He did Blackpool, and he did a lot of singing and dancing in that. He did what's the other one he did?
He did Casanova.
Casanova was awesome. He did that.
Oh, he's a triple threat. Sing, dance, and act.
But he's very flamboyant.
Yes. He's also done West End plays and all that sort of stuff. So
Harry Potter,
yeah.
What, he was in the movies?
Yeah,
he was in the fourth one, the Goblet of Fire one. Uh-huh. So.
Yeah. He was in something else. I IMDb'd him, and he was in something that really surprised me. I gotta find that again.
He was in a lot of stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, like he showed up quite a bit.
But there will be a series 5, but that won't be in 2010. Actually, the timeline goes like this. There will be a Christmas 2000 special with Kylie Minogue that's already been filmed. Series 4 in 2008, that's in production, that has that has Catherine Tate playing Donna, the runaway bride from the last Christmas special. Yes, there will be a Christmas 2008 special. 2009, there's going to be 3 specials written by Russell T. Davies, the current executive producer, one of those. They will have David Tennant. They'll be in 2009. So only 3 of them. So bide your time for that. But yeah, there will Series 5, 2010. We don't know if David Tennant will be in that one yet. I mean...
He's a fool not to.
Well, I mean, if he's going at least through 2009, that's far enough out.
Who could they get to replace him? I mean, the thing is he's hit it in America, which is hard. Like, people, like average people are watching Doctor Who that wouldn't normally watch Doctor Who. And it's all because of this guy. And, you know, I think the BBC should just throw money at him until he says yes. Because, honestly, like, the girls like him, the guys like him, that's a really rare mix.
So, Freema Agyeman will be coming back sometime mid-series 4 after she does her little stint on Torchwood series 2 when that comes out whenever sometime later on this year or next year. I can't remember what. Speaking of Torchwood, Series 2 will have James Marsters, Spike from Buffy on there, too.
So. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty awesome. Like, I'm a huge Angel / Buffy fan. Like, literally, I have all the box sets.
So, yeah. I mean, the way they market Torchwood on BBC America, it's part Angel, part X-Files, part, you know, it's like, you know.
Damn, I'm so upset I don't have BBC America.
It's part Angel. It's part Buffy. It's part the Holy Christian Bible. It's Torchwood. It is all things to all people. You must watch it or your soul will shrivel up like a desiccated almond rind.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. That's exactly how I feel right now. It's like I'm missing out.
Yeah. But that's it for me. What you got?
I got some Japanese wackiness here. Over in Japan, real-life Final Fantasy potions.
Really?
To help commemorate the 10th anniversary of the release of Final Fantasy VII, Suntory has announced plans to begin selling its vitamin-packed Final Fantasy VII potion. Mm. Carbonated drink in a special aluminum can featuring depictions of Cloud, Sephiroth, and other characters from the game. 16 different characters cans will be available at the price of 190 yen each. And when each of the limited edition 4-point can, they'll hit the shelves basically on October 23rd. So you got to collect them all. They're like Pokemon.
Oh, so that will be in Japan. Oh boy.
Yeah, not over here. They're not going to do something like that over here.
There's not a dense enough market to
it took
to
2 years
success.
For Final Fantasy Advent Children to get over here. Like, you know, the soda would probably take, by the time it gets over here, it would be bad. Like, it would be a vapid fluid that would melt through the floor.
Well, you wouldn't drink it. You'd only buy it to collect it so you could sell it on eBay in 12 months.
I made the mistake of collecting the Star Wars canned sodas. I dropped one once. It was not pretty.
Did it explode?
Yeah. I collected all the Queen Amidala ones because I was like
Did you see those limited edition Mountain Dews with the Fantastic Four promotion?
No, but I have the Halo 3 ones.
Yeah. Gamer fuel.
The Mountain Dew gamer fuel. Like with the special edition Halo 3 cans.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of creepy Queen Amidala stuff, I was on the internet the other day and I found a Rule 34 website, which is like all Rule 34 all the time, and it had Princess Leia and Queen Amidala Yuri hentai.
That's hot.
Yeah,
that's unbelievably
even
godly.
The fact
is,
that
is she wearing the makeup, like the hot, like
I don't know.
The geisha makeup.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like even
George Lucas did that for a reason. I'm sorry, George Lucas.
Yeah. You know,
he designed some of those outfits. Have you seen some of the special features where like she was talking about how George Lucas designed some of her outfits and she thought even they were a little bit risque.
You know, that's also incest in a way because it's mother and daughter.
Yeah. It's incest.
That's totally Japanese and hot.
Yeah.
It's total you would expect nothing Yuri less. Star Wars incest.
It's like the whole Jesus versus RoboCop thing that they're always talking about in anime world order, like the mangas, like the really cool wacky ones. Like I think I listened to their newest show, and Gerald was talking about he bought a Kiki's Delivery Service cross with the old Tim Burton Batman movie manga.
Ugh.
Dojin.
Oh, man.
That's hot.
That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
But that would be awesome. Like, see, that's the thing they do. Some of the mangas they do
Kiki
over there.
Kiki versus Batman?
I think it's incorporated somehow. Like, I'm not sure.
Wow.
We'll have to see if Gerald can send us some scans of that.
There is no limit to the depth to which fandom will sink.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So what else you got?
So my big news for me, actually, the biggest thing for me this weekend other than Evangelion Rebuild is the Rob Zombie Halloween that came out on Friday. And once again we're gonna talk a little about Workprint was released early. Basically the Workprint came out on I think Wednesday or Thursday. It got leaked out.
Mm-hmm.
The movie came out on Friday, but see this is one of those weird like court some kind of instances where it's almost okay to get the Workprint because the Workprint is totally different than what actually got released. And
how'd that work out?
Well, Halloween movies. I'm obsessed with Halloween movies. I've always been
the official Halloween, like Michael Myers, John Carpenter thing. Yeah,
yeah. Halloween has a very bad like history of like people remaking the same movie.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of the like, I think Halloween 2 has two different versions of it out. Halloween 5 has like Halloween 6, I think it is, has, and there's a lot of controversy. Like when Rob Zombie first said that he was going to do this, he basically leaked a script. I'm under the assumption he leaked it himself to Ain't It Cool News. They bashed the hell out of this thing. They said it was fucking horrible, that it's going to suck, you know, Rob Zombie's not going to be able to do this. And what happened was, is he took it back and he rewrote it. And he...
Well, that's not like that wouldn't happen anyway in Hollywood about 20 times.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, Rob Zombie's proven himself to be pretty good at the whole horror genre. So, I mean, this movie is a work print from, I think, the date on it is May. So from May to now, the movie's like totally different.
Oh.
And the people that downloaded the movie, like, I wasn't going to watch it because, you know, the funny thing is, when I download movies, I try to download like a work print because, quite honestly, I have a very good, like, you know, theory about this.
Yeah.
Because 9 times out of 10, when you download a work print, it's different than what you get in the theater. Okay. Kill Bill, for instance, the Kill Bill work print got released, and it actually has a different ending than what's in the theaters.
Oh.
It's they talk about like a different ending where, you know, how it instantly cuts to like the, you know, your daughter's still alive, In the movie, they actually didn't do that until a little bit into the credits, and people actually got up and left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but sometimes, like, it'll bite you in the ass sometimes, too. Hostel 2, a work print of that got released.
Yeah.
And it's a double-edged sword because, you know, sometimes it'll build a lot of buzz for people, but sometimes people will see the movie, realize that it sucks, word of mouth will spread, and people won't go see it.
When you get, like, studio sneak previews, a lot of times when they won't do a sneak preview, it's because the movie is so bad that they're, like, they're just going to, like, sneak it into theaters and hope that suckers go in and pay money to see it before they realize how bad it is, and word of mouth kills it.
Yeah. And see, in some reasons, I think that's why they're so against piracy, because I read a lot of like articles where if a movie's really good, they'll leak it. But if a movie's
to
really
generate
bad,
buzz,
if a movie's really bad, though, they'll try and hide it. But when it gets on the bootleg circuit and people are camming it, word of mouth spreads on the cams about how bad they are, and people don't go see the movies.
And they can't trick people into being disappointed by it and get their money.
Yeah, see, I'm totally against cams. All fans or busts. I don't believe in camming movies because, see, the thing is with work prints, like sometimes the director leaks them himself because they're not happy with what the studio's made them done. Sometimes you get something that's totally, you know, different than what you would get. There's a lot of movies that, you know, the work print gets leaked and it's like got different scenes in it,
or it has no special effects in it yet.
Yeah, that's like the Hulk. Ooh, when that got leaked a while back, that was a debacle because it turned out somebody in the advertising department leaked that, and I think they actually pressed charges against the guy.
Wasn't the whole problem with like all the Hulk stuff that they used like a half resolution version of the Hulk? They had not finished their CGI work.
Well, not only that, but the movie was garbage too. The movie sucked, and everybody who was watching the work print was like, wow, this sucks. And but I mean, this is the one rare occasion where the movie's totally different than what came out in theaters, and the movie's actually pretty good. I pre-bought my tickets for next week because I didn't have time to watch it this week, so I was going to go see it next week. So when I heard they were two different movies, I figured, you know, I could watch one and go back and watch the other and kind of
compare. Yeah.
But what I keep hearing is the version that got leaked is a lot more violent and disturbing than the version, of course, that got put up in theaters. I mean, that happened with American Psycho, that happened with House of a Thousand Corpses. And another thing becomes tricky. We were just talking about double dipping, especially with horror movies. You'll get the R-rated version in theaters and the unrated version on DVD. I mean,
Well, do you think they're going to do like a double-sided disc or something with like that fancy branching feature where you can choose which version you want to watch?
See, that's the thing. If they ever do that, and a lot of these like work prints are usually lost. I mean, they've been talking about releasing like some work prints, but they don't have the original elements, and the only way they exist is through the fandom
circuit. The bootlegs,
yeah. So I mean, this was a big deal for me because I'm a big fan of Rob Zombie. I'm a huge fan of him. He's been trying to bring it back. He's been trying to do a lot of good exploitation work, and I really. I mean, House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects were two of the best movies I've seen, like on par with like Kill Bill and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And Grindhouse. I mean, he's very out there, very balls to the wall, and he's basically trying to bring it back to like the whole 70s and stuff like that, which is cool. But it was big news for me that it got leaked and that turned out to be a totally different version, which was kind of really cool because, you know, now you kind of have this look into, and you get to see, you know, because a movie is kind of a work in progress.
It's always a work in progress. And movies are never never done movies just run out of money or time or both.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where the original release date for this thing was rumored to be Halloween.
Right.
Yeah. And he basically got rushed out. And plus, I heard he didn't want to compete with Saw 4, which is coming out. don't diss on Saw 4, because Saw 3... Saw 3 was good. I know Alan hates horror movies, but Saw 3 was a lot better than Saw 2, which sucked ass.
Yeah, well,
Saw 1 was really good.
Yeah, Saw 1, yeah,
and
fine.
They're bringing back Jigsaw again for Saw 4. They finally put up the website and put up the teaser for it. But you know, it's one of those things, you can only go so far with sequels. I mean,
I know. I mean, the whole "I know what you did last summer" thing just got out of hand.
Don't even bring those up. I mean, the only reason, the worst part about those is those movies would have been a lot better if they were done now, because Jennifer Love Hewitt actually has boobs now. If she did those movies now, she'd be good.
So did she, like, finish her growth, or did she buy them?
I think she bought them. Did you see how she's doing bra commercials now?
No, I have.
She is.
I have very little consciousness of who Jennifer Love Hewitt is, aside from, like, celebrity fake sex on the internet.
I think that's a good thing.
She's doing, like, the Hanes, like, bra commercials now.
Okay.
And the funny thing is she had no chest, like, about 5 or 6 years ago when she did these movies. And it's hilarious, but, you know,
yeah,
trying to bring it back. I'm really into, like, I'm not afraid to admit it. I really like bad horror movies. I'm really into the whole genre, and I'm really glad that Rob Zombie, you know, redid Halloween, and he did do it. The version I saw, even though it's different, it was really good. It did the whole thing some justice, and it wasn't totally bad.
Okay. So
it was actually worth seeing, but you know, to me that was a big deal because my last little news item will be my Apple news.
Okay.
The Apple event on, I think it's going to be the 5th,
which is
on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Because they give everybody a day to get back because all the reporters that took the long weekend. And basically, everybody's saying it's going to be a new Nano or basically the new iPhone. It's like iPod, where it's basically an iPod that's an iPhone without the phone, because everybody wants to do the little thing with the fingers. They're talking about possibly they're going to do kiosks now, iTunes kiosks in the stores. See, we were talking about the whole universal thing on OG, and the big thing is like Apple's talking about putting in these kiosks.
You take your iPod and just plug it into a kiosk and buy a song right there.
Yeah, like in the music stores. See, the thing is when I was in China, they were everywhere. When I was in China, everybody had
They rolled it out in China already?
People
in general.
Yeah,
but
because I was like, you know, what's that thing over there? And my wife is like, well, you buy music there. You plug in your MP3 player, you pick your songs, you pay the guy, and he puts the songs on your iPod.
Oh.
And to me, that would be awesome.
So you don't need the internet to use your iPod?
No. Well. No, you can just buy the MP3 player, take it over, fill it up with songs, and you're good to go.
Yeah, I think if they get that rolling over here, that's gonna be a big thing.
Yeah, because even the people that don't know how to use the computer the Google or the YouTube, they can actually get some songs
even
on their
people
stuff.
Who are scared of spam can still use the iPod.
Yeah, there also is that lanky rumor out there that they're going to come out with the lower price iPhone.
We'll have to see.
Well, eventually the price is going to drop once
yeah, I mean, it's going to drop. I mean, has anybody seen, I know I've been watching the whole unlocking thing lately.
Well, I heard someone finally, like, officially said, yeah, I figured out how to do it.
Yeah, there's three different unlocks, and apparently one of the unlocks has been blowing up iPhones.
Blowing them up?
Yes. Yep. There's
causes the batteries to feedback and blow up or something?
Apparently something happened. One gentleman was modding, was trying to unlock his iPhone, and he crossed the wires, and his battery just went poof.
Ouch.
And it's on flicker. It's pretty hilarious, but, you know, I'm terrified.
This has voided your warranty, by the way.
I'm literally terrified because I want to use my iPhone. Mm-hmm. If I were to buy iPhone, I'd like to use it with T-Mobile. Mm-hmm. But to brick a $500 device, you know?
That's a big risk.
Like, I'd be willing to go with AT&T just so I don't have to worry about bricking a $500 device or having one blow up. Because I wouldn't do there's the one of the methods is the soldering method.
Yeah.
And there's the software thing there's the SIM free where they put a SIM card in there. Uh-huh. And now there's the software people are saying they're going to not sell it directly but resell it through another third party so they don't get sued.
Yeah, we'll have to see about that. I mean, I think they sent the one kid, you know, he lived in New Jersey.
Got a car. car and 3 iPhones.
Yeah, and
a job.
Yeah, and and they're going to send him to Rochester Institute.
And his own personal prostitute.
Yeah, Rochester Institute of Technology.
It took him 500 man hours to do this.
And on your next unlock, you will get human prostitutes.
Yeah.
That's insane, though. Can you imagine that? Like, that kid is set for life now because he's forever going to be known as the kid who unlocked the iPhone. And he's going to just have winches for life. And he's crazy.
He's going to be the next Bill Gates, right?
Yeah. No. Right. I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. So that was news, and we're going to do some reviews now.
Yeah, yeah. Now we're in the review section.
We're going to do reviews a little differently here, though, because, you know, I kind of want to, you know, do like a round table review type of thing. Like, you know, like Siskel and Dead Ebert or whichever one died.
That was Siskel.
Oh, so Dead Siskel and Ebert.
Dead Siskel. Well, Ebert could be. No, I'm just kidding.
No. All that cholesterol.
Yeah.
Well, the sad thing is that the skinny guy died of cancer, I think.
Yeah. Oh, he did?
Yeah. Well, he smoked a lot.
I feel bad.
It wasn't like he was of low moral quality and he died from his vices. It was like cancer or some shit.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, yeah, we're going to have the... yeah, to get off that morbid subject...
I actually feel kind of bad now.
To get off that subject, we got reviews, and this will be Siskel and Ebert stuff, and we got stuff that
we both try and watch. Yeah. So we're both going to watch it, mm-hmm. and we're both going to basically chime in as best we can on it and give our little insights into it. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do anime first or live action?
Oh, I don't care. Whatever you feel like doing. It's like... But, yeah, we will do a lot of current stuff that's out in Japan, stuff that's been missed by the average viewer.
Do you like anime but not know what to watch? Well, don't listen to us.
Yeah. What you got? Oh, we got a lot of... We actually talked a lot.
1 hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah. So let's.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah, we got a lot. We worked on this weekend. We got content coming out the yin yang.
Yeah, we're
finally not shutting up.
Yeah, we're not shutting up. But we should start. You know, we should get through this stuff quickly.
Because, okay, so
hey, yeah, it's your first episode.
Yeah, we shouldn't put people.
The OG
off
legacy will not be left alone.
So, like, let's get through this stuff.
We're gonna make Alan proud.
Okay, so what is your first review, guys?
Let's start with the anime.
Okay. This
anime
week, we're going to be doing doujin work.
Yes, doujin work. It's very, you know...
I remember I got Jefferson into watching this because I had seen the first two episodes one weekend, and I was like, Jefferson, this is so sick and twisted. You have to see it.
Yeah. So doujin work is about a girl who breaks into the...
Najumi Osana.
Yeah, who goes into the... into the doujinshi world at Comic-Con, and she, you know, she figures that this will be a way to get easy money. Little does she know that she
needs talent.
Yeah. And she has to do some research as well. So
Okay. Jefferson said like the good part about it, but let me tell you the reason why I like this. Okay, you would think from his description of it, it's kind of like Comic Party. Okay, the Najumi gets into doujin because her friend draws rape manga, and she's big into rape doujin. And the thing is this is not a hentai.
Why are girls into this?
Because she makes a lot of money.
Oh. Yeah.
So this girl basically is into drawing rape doujin. And the thing is, don't get put off, guys. Mm-hmm. It's not hentai. It's just very, very, very dark comedy.
Okay.
Yeah, like, the situations are just set up so, you know...
You know, you got the one guy into, loli, you know, it's like...
You got your standard lolicon, you know, pedo bear dude. You got, like, the one guy who's just into, like, your average run-of-the-mill stuff, and... You got the girl who's basically wants to get into it, doesn't know how, and
you
get a pretty much a glimpse into they kind of concentrate on the real doujin market because, like, the doujin that sells is the porn stuff.
Yeah.
And they're basically not winking an eye at
that. Yeah, what makes money on the internet.
We're talking about porn now, and it's only an hour into the show, so.
Well, but yeah.
It's not porn, actually.
Porn sells, but it's not porn, so. Uh-huh. The whole thing.
They're 15-minute episodes.
Yeah, 15-minute episodes. That's a good thing. And it's actually only a very short series. It's only slated to be 12 episodes. So.
Yeah, it's 12 episodes. It's based on a manga. It's put out by... It's actually the manga is actually put in the seinen category because it is basically
very adult.
It's by Studio Rimic, which they really don't have a whole lot to their resume.
Yeah.
Neither does the director Kenichi Yatani. Mm-hmm. Like, all these people are just kind of, you know, it just for one hit wonders, because this thing is actually, I mean, it's just starting to snowball, and the more people that get into this, the better, because it reminded me of a very, very adult Azumanga Daioh.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It's very short. Mm-hmm. It's very kitschy. Like, it's very, like, there's a lot of, like, one episode where the one girl's talking about how she drew her first manga, and, you know, she's talking about it, but the one guy misconstrues her and thinks she had an abortion.
Oh!
She's like, I finally did it, and da-da-da, and then it's just, like, a whole bunch of, like, very adult, like, if you took Azumanga Daioh and you made it very adult, that's what you would get. I mean, they have, like, dancing pairs of panties, because the one girl that she kind of gets in her doujin circle,
yeah.
Her name of her doujin circle is Panty Revolution.
So, yeah, this is very adult, but it's also funny, and yeah.
It's not pornographic.
It's adult, but not porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about porno, but it's very dark humor. It's very good humor.
I think
the
what
characters,
we would call adult themes.
The yeah. characters are very likable, too. Like, the Najumi girl is really funny.
Yeah, nobody's really, you know, with all the adult themes that do it, no one's really sickly, saccharine, sweet. I mean, it's... If it gets to that point, it pulls it back and actually gives you, you know, that crunch to the anime. So, yeah.
Yeah, my favorite is her friend Tsuri, who is known as her doujin name is Bloomer Girl. And she is the only member of her doujin circle when she begins Panty Revolution, which mainly consists of rape manga. And it's just like her friend is just like the hot, like, little goth girl who's just like, you know, she's doing it because, you know, she makes money and it pays for her stuff. And like, I think the original manga that it's based on is like the four panel stuff. That's why I was basically comparing it to Azumanga, because if you look at the manga that it's based on, it's very, like, you know, four panel joke, and it's very quick humor, very cute, very funny, but also very perverted and dark at the same time.
So yeah, if you want something quick and short and sweet, go check it out.
Yes. You can pretty much find it on any place. I know they're doing the MKV files and the AVI files of this one. So if you're into the high resolution stuff, you can get the high resolution stuff. Uh-huh. If you're not, you're not. This has not been licensed over here. I doubt that it probably will be anytime soon. I mean, it's still like kind of one of those weird things in the fan community that people just haven't picked on yet. And I'm hoping they do eventually.
Okay. What was the title again?
Doujin Work. So.
Doujin Work?
Yep.
Doujin Work.
Okay.
So, yeah, there you go. What else we got here? And our other review for this week is actually live action. It's a
Korean movie.
It's a Korean movie. And this was actually...
Those wacky Koreans.
Yeah, this actually premiered last year and came out in theaters in the U.S. that are doing a limited art house run. It's called The Host by director...
Jun-ho-bong.
Yeah. One of the great...
I love those Korean names.
One of the great things about this is actually this is pretty much takes your monster movie flick up to a next level. There's actually pretty well done CGI work. They actually work with Weta people down in New Zealand.
The guys who did the Lord of the Rings special effects.
They've compared it to Jaws crosses with Little Miss Sunshine, and they're not that far off.
No, they're not. Basically, the story, the plot is about a family of nitwits, actually. The father of the one daughter
is an archery champion.
The aunt is an archery champion who misses out, you know, who has this thing about, doesn't she have sleep apnea or something like that?
Yeah, she's weird.
Yeah, it's like she has sleep apnea. But the father...
You mean like narcolepsy? She just suddenly will fall asleep in the public or something? Or
yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
Well, no, actually the father has narcolepsy, but the daughter has this issues with completion and, you know, self-motivation. I mean, she's an archery champion, but she will not... When it comes to their time to be, you know, the true championship, she fails. And then we have the uncle who's pretty much a college dropout. No, wait. No.
I don't even think he went to college. I mean, they got the one brother who's actually like gone to college, has a job, and who's successful, and then the other brother who's working at the ramen, the fast food stand or whatever it is. And you know, and then the little girl who basically is, you know, like the Chio-chan, like, you know, I'm a cute little schoolgirl, and
it all starts out, the movie starts out, the one, they pour down chemicals the... formaldehyde into the public water supply.
That kind of was weird, the whole thing where just dumping a bunch of, like, chemicals all of a sudden creates this super beast. Yeah. Like, that's the only part of it that actually bothered me, the whole thing. Like, I can understand there's this monster that comes out of a ravine, swallows people, yet they're still alive, spits them out in his nest, and they're still alive. Well, but I cannot understand, they dump formaldehyde in and Godzilla comes out. The Korean Godzilla, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, Korean monster, but still, I mean, and yeah, the monster comes out in the river. I mean, this whole, I mean, it's
pretty cool. The first time he comes out, because basically what happens is it starts out a normal day. Everybody's doing like normal daily hijinks. Everybody's being funny. And all of a sudden this monster comes out of this like lake, because basically there's all these like, they all work in this like park area that's next to like a like kind of like a stream going down the middle. And what happens is this monster lives in this bridge that crosses that lake. So one day the monster decides he's going to come out and just raise holy hell. And he kills a guy, throws people, and he basically kidnaps a little girl.
Has himself a good old monster time.
And basically what happens is all the people that had contact with them with the monster got put in quarantine, especially the people that touched the monster. So the family has to basically escape because they think the little girl's still alive. So they have to escape from quarantine and try and save the daughter.
Yeah. I mean, the daughter uses, you know, she's trying to hide from the monster. She's alive in the monster's larder. And she manages to get a cell phone and a, you know, it's like, yeah, that the whole touch. I mean, the you may think that this is, you know, this is the family.
It's really good.
Yeah, this family is this family is messed up, but yeah, they come together, you know.
Yeah, that's where the whole comparison to Little Miss Sunshine came in, because basically this family is a bunch of misfits. Like, none of them, some of them are successful, but it comes down to the fact that none of them really fit in. And basically the daughter getting kidnapped by the monster unifies them all, and they decide to go rogue, and basically the government's looking for them. The Americans, who somehow factor into this, that's what I've noticed. You notice how there's like this weird anti-American thing going throughout the whole thing? Like, the people who know about this monster are the Americans, and they speak English, and they're trying to make sure, you know, that I kind of gleaned that, you know, but you know, so the family's hiding from the Americans, hiding from the government. They're trying to save this girl, and they actually unite and become a bunch of badass people who are basically like, I think the one guy, they somehow get guns and
Molotov cocktails and all that.
Like, the one guy was a revolutionary back in the old time Korean like colleges, and so it brings him back to back when he used to be a revolutionary, and
oh boy,
they all decide that they're going to attack this monster, and it's like, it's very like Little Miss Sunshine, where it unites his family against this monster. And the monster is actually pretty cool, because it is done by Weta.
Yeah, so,
and it is a really good feel good movie.
I mean, actually, if the monster wasn't realized, and it's such great detail, such great CGI by Weta, I don't think this would have deserved any notice at all. I mean, it's just
that's what everybody sold it as over here. I mean, it's one of those things where, if this was just a regular Korean movie, you could see where somebody used Mac Paint to draw the special effects in.
Ow.
But, you know, you could tell, like, somebody spent time, effort, and money on this. I wonder, did they pay Weta to do this, or did they do it as, like, kind of like, you know, a charity thing?
Think they did. Well, I mean, I think Weta was paid by, you know, and all that sort of stuff. But, yeah, it's out on DVD now, so, yeah.
You can actually get it at Blockbusters and whatnot.
Really?
Yeah.
It's got that kind of mainstream distribution.
Yeah, it was pretty, like, it was an art house movie, but once it was done with the art house circuit, it's been pretty much everywhere. I mean.
Oh, cool.
It's a really good Korean flick. I think they have a 2-disc special edition. Lots of good extras on that. It's definitely a good movie. If you're looking for a good monster movie, it's highly recommended.
But
As hard as Jefferson tried to say it, it was really good.
What's the title again?
The Host.
It's called The Host, a Korean movie, and
And I looked up the director, and he hasn't done a whole lot either. Like, it's like one of his first forays.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of, a lot of novices unknowns. And a lot of unknowns, but, emergence of Korean cinema. I mean, this is real.
It started with Volcano High.
Yeah,
that was awesome. And now they got this thing called Dragon Fight. Something about these two giant dragons fighting in Los Angeles or something.
Wow,
that's like the new big Korean movie that's coming out soon. Koreans are basically trying to give the Japanese a run for
their
money.
They're trying to be the new Japanese.
Yeah,
they're trying to be the new China, because it was first Hong Kong cinema, then it was Japanese cinema that was hot.
Yeah.
Now it's Korean, and the Thai people are trying to get in on that too now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
The Thai stuff is horrible though. They really need to put some more money into their stuff.
Well, they'll get there eventually, but we'll see.
So we're going to stop bothering you now. I'd like to thank Matt for joining us in this.
Yeah,
thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, thanks Matt, and also thank you to Aaron Clark for talking to us about the AVA rebuild.
Yeah, thanks for coming on Skype with us. Thanks to Alan for letting us bum on your shit and sit here and listen to us. And Alan was really good because he didn't say anything and he didn't correct us. So a big thank you to Alan, and
we'll
do another episode and people will actually download this.
Yeah, so enjoy the first edition of Fanboy Hill.
This will be like the Origins episode.
We'll probably be back with a little bit shorter show, hopefully. We'll tighten things up.
I hope not. I like this. I like to see, that's the thing, though. It's like one of those things
I want to
nerd out. Like, I want to be able to,
I know you want
to
nerd
make all
out,
my
but I,
bad references.
But I also want to make it so that people going on a 30-minute jog can have actually fit it in on a 30-minute jog.
Well, they need to fit us into their life. We don't have to fit them into ours.
Oh, well. So. So anyway, thank you for listening to Fanboy Hill. We'll have some more news bits, reviews, rotating segments. There'll be a lot more surprises and stuff, and hopefully we can get some guests, maybe, and who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, be kind. It's our first episode.
Yeah, be kind.